You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I honestly don't know what we're laughing at, but I'm sure it's funny.
We were laughing about that old show where we were trying to figure out. Remember, somebody was going to Mars for like 21 years,
and they could pay a bazillion dollars and go to Mars and blah blah blah.
But there was a chance they wouldn't go back, and you were like, "Who'd want to do that?" Me and Marty at the same time were like, "Joe would."
We said he left the Boy Scouts after 7 days to go to space camp.
Oh, he could have.
I don't really think so.
Could have.
Yeah, because he is all about that.
Look at Marnie sucking up.
Or somewhere he went to, because he loves trains.
He does love trains.
He may have gone to the roundhouse and learned how trains work.
I almost just wore my train transportation.
Is there a badge for trains?
Well, we can ask Joe.
Joe, is there a train badge?
In 7 days, I don't think I got to the train badge.
Do you remember what Joe said? Please send donations and we can fix the equipment.
It's just this one cord, and I'm sure it's just not plugged in right. Not
sure it is. I'm sure it's wonderful.
It's near me, so it probably doesn't want to get all the way in.
Back to the perfume counter for me.
Oh my god, that was fantastic.
Don't go to Thoughtful Vulgarity because I haven't had a thought in about 20 minutes.
Well, we're going to go there right now. So
oh no.
It's our third hour. We always start. Have we gone through our list? Because we can't start Thoughtful Vulgarity.
Yeah, the only thing that I wanted to throw out, there were just a couple of funny things.
Come on, Marnie.
I'm trying to work it out.
No, we got plenty of time.
Bitches!
Here we go. Damn, Marnie.
Damn, Marnie. Clayton has gotten me off and on into the Twitterverse as far as like looking at Twitter and paying
attention.
Does
he use two fingers to get to there?
Ew. Oh, I think I just threw up a little bit.
Ew.
It sounded dirty to me.
I don't want to talk anymore.
Oh my god.
I haven't made y'all do spit takes in a while. I had to up my game.
I'm an old
Carl!
All right, so
well, that was gross.
So you were straddling the Twitterverse when last we saw you.
Anyway, there were tweets from the Super Bowl that were pretty funny. One of them,
Joe didn't get a train badge. He didn't get a train badge. Sorry, Joe.
Damn.
Sorry.
There was the humorist Neil Pollack made the statement that when the lights went out
in Georgia,
right?
Yeah.
This time it's the rich people trapped in the Superdome.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys have heard that.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so I thought that one was pretty good. Someone else said, never should have installed the clapper at the dome.
I thought that was cute. Wait.
That was funny. That was good.
Damn cord.
And San Francisco defensive back Chris Culver's comments about his unwillingness to accept gay players in the league made him the butt of humorous jokes throughout the game. One of my favorites came after Culver's botched coverage that led to a Ravens touchdown. It says, Chris Culver's so homophobic he won't play defense against the other dudes. So I thought that was funny. And the Super Bowl brawl on the field could have been settled a lot faster if all players carried guns. Hashtag NRA.
So I thought that was funny.
Great. I thought that was great. So anyway, that was just the silly. Damn lights still not on in New Orleans Super Bowl. Obama doesn't care about the black people. That was good. Anyway, those were just kind of funny.
That is good.
There was a tweet that I saw immediately following, and I can't recall if it was to Madonna or what it was. It said, just so you will know, and someday your grandchildren will know, that's the night the lights went out in New Orleans. An homage to Designing Women, if you've ever seen that one.
Fantastic.
Too funny.
and speaking of homages, when Ben Affleck won the Directors Guild Award, he quoted Cher. No, he quoted Cher. Because when Cher won her Oscar, she said, I don't think this makes me a real actress, but I think I'm on my way. And I don't know if Ben Affleck realized, but he said, I don't think this makes me a real director, but I think I'm on my way. So he paraphrased Cher.
Oh.
Very nice.
Okay. And I... Yeah. I kind of.
Well done.
Dead air. Anyway.
As everybody contemplates, I'd do him. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you.
You know, the more, I think the older he's getting, the more I think he's a good looking man. Because he is. I thought he was good looking in Argo. And then in everything that I've seen him in, you know, obviously this award season, he's been showing up. I just think, wow, he's just a good looking boy.
And well, I think now he's going to start showering because he wins everything. You got to get ready to stand
he's
up.
He's got to be clean. On the other hand, his wife isn't difficult to look at either.
I don't, she's lovely.
I don't think Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner.
And I'm
that's
sure
an A++ couple seriously. There.
I am sure I have asked this before. There is no connection between Jennifer Garner and
James Garner. I don't think so because I think their names are spelled differently, but I refuse to Google it.
No, I don't believe they are. No. They're not spelled differently, but I don't think that there is a connection. Wouldn't that be something?
No, I was hopeful because I've always liked James Garner. I've always liked James Garner. Yeah. I think he's a great.
But there's a lot of them that are like he was Ellery Queen in the 70s, Hutton, and then his son is Timothy Hutton, like that you don't realize and the father from Family is Matthew Broderick's. James Broderick is Matthew Broderick's father.
I didn't the guy not from realize Family. That.
James Broderick is the guy that they make fun of because he used to be, what was it called? The Highway Patrolman was his show, the way he talked.
What?
James Broderick was the guy because Letterman's always talking about him. Who's the, god damn it, who's the one that they make fun of? They've patterned a voice after him. I just remember James Broderick
from Family, but that's Matthew Broderick's father. So those people do have
that's interesting.
Secret connections that a lot of times they don't make a big deal
Kiefer
about.
Sutherland,
it.
I think I'm Donald wrong. Sutherland.
Yeah. Well, I mean that one's kind of obvious because they look alike and they both have that Canadian accent that you can spot from 30 miles away.
And it's obviously the Estevez Sheen.
Right.
Connection.
I did not get the because Charlie and Martin look alike, but Emilio I did not get.
But if you put Emilio next to Martin,
then they kind of look
then
alike.
They do. So it's kind of
I'm wrong. It's the I was way off.
Eric Estrada. This is,
these are good drinks, by the way. No, what was the name that you guys said? Something
James,
Matthew
Broderick. James Broderick.
Yeah, I'm talking about a guy named Broderick Crawford. Totally different.
Well, yes, and he did have a very distinct voice.
I forget some. There's a cartoon character, if I'm not mistaken, who's patterned after his.
I want to say that is true.
Susan Sarandon's daughter and Meryl Streep's daughter are both in everything right now.
Ava
Mamie Gummer.
Mamie Gummer is in everything, and I saw her on Broadway.
Meryl Streep's daughter.
Les Liaisons Dangereux.
Dangereux.
Oh my God, it's European.
It oh, wait, wait. Mama.
And Susan Sarandon's daughter, who is
Ava.
I don't know what you just did.
I wanted to be Pepe Le Pew.
It's a middle name, like Marie, like Ava Marie or Ava Louise.
But she's in a really good movie called Saved with Macaulay Culkin and Mandy Moore. Yeah. Great, great movie. And Sarah Marie. Fuck me.
I don't think that's it.
Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who, that Mary Louise is Meryl's real name.
Yes. As Cher called her at the Oscars.
Yeah, Meryl an abbreviation of Mary Louise.
Nice.
There you go. Okay, I guess we got to find a question here soon, so let's work on that.
Well, are we ready for the disclaimer? Or did we already open that? We haven't done that yet.
We haven't done it.
Well, then we should do it. God damn it.
There you go.
Here we go. 9:07. It's a Tuesday night. We're going into what may or may not be a stellar segment called Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now...
Sorry, I set you off.
Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right, let's go from fuck the Catholic Church. Let's just go right off on that topic. The Nazi in a dress, as I like to call him.
With the persons on fire.
Yeah.
What would you like to know?
Well, what should be the punishment for these crimes? Like for not just molesting children. But then the people that covered up and just let it keep, whether it's the military, the Pope, the Penn State, like all these different people that witnessed these crimes and just let them go on because they care
Don't
more about...
Don't you think that they are worse sometimes much, than much the worse. Actual perpetrators?
Yes. Yes.
Firmly, because if it's like, consensual rape...
No, because
legitimate.
No, because
legitimate. I'm sorry.
Forcible. No, because the guy that was almost vice rapist in chief, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul fucking Ryan. Yep. His phrase that they got away from in the campaign, and thank God he didn't win, was forcible rape.
Right.
That
right.
was in the bill that he wrote.
That's right.
He used the term forcible rape, and then he shook his head all disapprovingly when he found out
right.
somebody was making judgments about rape. Oh, no. So what do you think, without being too graphic, or feel free to be graphic right. if you'd like to because of our rating system, what would you think the suitable punishment would be for these enablers of horrific crimes?
Mine's pretty goddamn simple.
Guantanamo
yeah.
is not a bad idea. You know, the idea of torture. I have always said to the idea of putting when I see something on TV or you hear about a story that, you know, whoever is the perpetrator that you want to take them and, you know, tie them up and hurt them slowly. Not anything fast. I wouldn't want them to just be dead.
Oh, like carve out their heart with a spoon.
Yeah, but kind of like it more like you know, put a cap in the knee, and then let that heal slowly with no pain medication, and then shoot the other knee and tell them to walk, and you know, it just all kind of they're just and it's awful because I'm not the proponent for guns, but you know,
right?
But doing you know, just doing something. And or making them...
A good chocolate, Molly. Is that good chocolate?
Because the problem is that to do something to make them think about what they did.
Right.
They don't care.
No, they don't clearly care. Don't. They put their organization above.
But then, kind of, yeah.
Then to that point, I ask, why bother? Just eliminate, done, gone. I don't give a shit about you. No suffering, no long term. We're not spending money on you. There's no going... Gone. Elimination. Right. Period. Done.
So, I mean, now here's what I would like. I'm not going to play devil's advocate because I'm right on your same page. Now, do you think because the prison system seems to take care of these kind of people, that rapists and child, well, actually pedophiles get the worst treatment in prison because so, and I found out recently from another documentary that I watched that.
How to Make Friends in Prison?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really a how-to video by Martha Stewart, front row at the Beyonce concert while she was sniffing the potpourri.
Is that what we're
She said, damn, Beyonce, Woo! That smelled good. I just made Martha Stewart Chicken George, but I don't
know. It's all right.
I've
been curious,
it's Black
George.
History Month, and I think that's what's important.
Possums.
But don't you think that's kind of like poetic justice? No, that so many people in the prison system are victims abuse in the hands of victims of abuse. So when they get an abuser in there, they kind of like flush the very cathartic. They flush their own system out by treating them worse than anyone.
Turn your pain into art.
Right, that's right. Right. It really is. I will not apologize.
I will not apologize for it.
So isn't that kind of what we're wishing for here?
Yeah, and it takes it off my hands because I really I don't want to personally. I don't want to hurt anybody except for when I do hear about that whole thing with kids. I get a little feisty, and I don't know that I couldn't. You know, yeah. I just don't know that I couldn't. I know of someone who her father molested her from basically birth, and mom sat in a rocking chair the entire time, knew it was going on, and it went on all the way through high school. Knew it was going on and did nothing.
And it's the Sandusky thing. Who's more guilty?
Correct. Absolutely.
Who's more guilty?
And as far as I'm concerned, her mother is.
Yeah.
Yeah, her mother's a cunt.
You had a...
go, Tyler. mean, really. An awful, awful, horrible human being.
Yeah, and now he's the Pope.
You can sit there and know.
She just stayed a mother in a rocking chair. They made this one the Pope.
Don't you think, though, that men also know how to pick... those women?
Oh, that's in the Invisible War thing.
Really?
That is in the Invisible War thing that they know prey. Yeah. They can spot it. They know when they've got someone vulnerable.
Well, and my theory is also that the there are two kinds of women when it comes to these things. It's women who want to save their children or women who want to not be left by their man.
Right.
And I think that I would venture to guess that most oftentimes these women were also abused and have their own issues and of, you know...
It's their version of normal is how I like to say it. Like, to them...
Well, but we all know those women who are so desperate that they, you know, they always... They have to have a man that...
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, serial monogamous.
And, yeah. And at any cost, including their children,
yes.
will... Which brings me to...
That goes for men and women.
That's, yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, sure. Right.
No,
yeah.
Sure. Gay men suffer from a lot of... And I can't speak for lesbians if they do, too.
But, oh, please.
But...
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I
that's
mean,
the whole U-Haul thing.
The yeah. tragic woman mm-hmm. syndrome goes right into yeah. gaydom. Like, that follows. We all think we're Joan. Like, not we
but,
all,
but we
there's
also,
a lot that suffer from that Joan Crawford. How did we get anorexia? How did gay men
right.
start suffering from that? How did we get a 12-year-old
right.
girl disease?
Well, and we all know the women who will fiercely protect their children above anything else, too.
Right.
So, you know, but I do think that there are men who are so... good at this, that they will first choose the woman who will stand by their man while they're perpetrating it.
But if they're, okay, so if they're 18, 19 years old when they meet these women, or, you know, whatever, their future wife.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the woman is that age?
Right. Okay. And or the man.
Okay.
And or, you know, like the guy is just coming of age and the whole nine yards. This isn't something, and I'm not trying to make it so that we can give them a medicine and make it all okay that this is some kind of a disease.
Nope.
Fuck you.
Nope.
Yeah,
right?
No, exactly.
Fuck
no.
off. And, but at the same time, do you think that they're consciously thinking that as far as the finding that partner? I mean, when you're looking at that age. Now, if you're talking about a 30-something-year-old who's looking to find the 19-year-old, do you know what I'm asking?
And I'm not sure how this works generationally, but you knew when I went to high school who was going to get married just to
yep.
get out of the house.
Yep.
Like,
okay.
just,
oh, sure.
to,
okay,
just
sure.
to
sure.
get away yeah. from one
Doesn't matter
bad
how
situation.
Right.
And do another
right.
one.
And
yeah.
you know that those guys were circling because
okay.
they knew they were ripe for, you know, mm-hmm. no one deserves
and
it.
That same age. Like, they're all the same age group. But
right.
No?
Okay. Right. And because they haven't transitioned from victim into survivor
okay.
yet. And when they do is when they start. And this, I mean, I don't mean this, that sounds kind of misogynistic, but they just go from victim to, like, get me to someone else who might help me. But the guy you chose probably just spotted you as a victim.
Absolutely.
And is just going to make this worse. And I think one of the things with women's education, women's rights, and giving women this
socialization,
this power, yeah, to mm-hmm. get out of the house, that you can get out of your parents' house without some guy.
So if we're in 1973, and I'm probably going to get sliced for this. I'm just playing devil's advocate. If we're in 1973, I can believe that a whole lot more than I can in 2012.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, has that...
Or this year, which is 2013.
No, a victim is a victim
is
a victim.
I agree. No, I'm not slamming that. What I'm saying is that there's a whole lot more information out
right.
there now,
mm-hmm.
and not just... like access to information, like if you go seek it, I mean, it's in your face,
right.
Now, as opposed
now,
to
now, if you're
years
the
vi- years
if you're
ago.
The victim of spousal abuse
but
or domestic
violence,
you're talking
violence.
About like the Oprah effect. Like,
no, that's,
you
yes.
started talking
no.
about
no,
those things.
That's exactly what I
yeah.
mean. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Oprah Winfrey's been telling you this is a bad idea for like 3 decades
yeah.
now. Like, eventually,
yeah.
you have to realize, oh my god,
oh,
this guy
that's
hit me.
True.
Yeah. Oprah says that's
it's probably
bad.
A bad idea.
Okay, but here's the other thing that's true about the psychology of especially sexual abuse. Whatever age the sex abuse started, that's when you stop.
You stop.
That's
yep.
when your brain
yep.
stops
oh,
maturing.
Definitely. Yep.
And you live in that space
yep.
until you
sure.
get therapy or work it out somehow.
And then you start maturing from that point.
Right. So if you're
angry.
An 8-year-old
yeah,
just
right.
looking for some love,
yeah.
approval, and
right.
affection, you're going to go with the first guy that gives it
sure.
to you.
I can see that.
Because you're 8 years
you're
old.
You're 8 years
yeah.
old.
You're not, yeah. Okay. Now, the other thing, and this
yeah,
was in this was in the chat room about sexual abuse trauma.
Military.
Oh. Damn it. I looked something up and I lost my
damn.
Train of thought. Damn, Gina.
you don't get
okay,
points.
No, forgetting. The bad part about anyone blocking a memory, and they bring this up in The Invisible War, and they actually brought it up in all, no, just in two, in Mia Maxima Culpa and in The Invisible War. They talk about the fact the worst thing you can do And they brought it up today with the Alabama kid getting out of the bunker.
Right. Yeah.
You can't let that kid forget, because if he forgets, it'll just resurface as childhood trauma. And all he'll ever do is relive it, but he won't know why he's reliving it or why he has these horrors.
Yes.
You have to deal with it at the time, process it, accept the memory, and move on. And it was a child psychiatrist that was talking about it. Like, no, this kid cannot forget this, because
the only way out of it is through.
12 years later, this kid's going to be completely fucked up, because he's not going to understand why he has the PTSD.
Right, when he hears a certain voice or hears or sees a smell.
But isn't the child...
And then no one around him will know, because he suppressed it. So the people around him don't know what he's going through.
Isn't he also an autistic child?
He has Asperger's.
Yeah, on top of everything.
That's what I thought about the whole Elizabeth Smart thing. Mm-hmm. Because do you remember when she made it home, her family, it just seemed like there was this dynamic of she's not ready, or, you know, we're not going to deal with it till she's ready to deal with it. And I thought, oh, man, she's
never
going
to be ready to deal
life.
With it. Yeah.
Right. You have to do it now. You have to.
Immediately into therapy. Yep. Immediately.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely. And this.
Well, that was it. J.C. Dugard? Am I saying that right? J.C.?
Oh, God. For how many years? 16, 20 years?
Better than 20 something. Oh, I think Anne had two or three kids by.
Or the kid, I think, by I know.
I mean, total Stockholm.
Two daughters.
What's the one? I know my name is Stephen, or I think my name is Stephen. That's another one.
I know my name is Stephen. Have you ever seen that?
I know of it, but I can't recall it right now.
Bible. What's they knew that the abductor knew that the family was religious. And so he had a Bible.
What's the movie where Judd Hirsch is the cop and the boy is kidnapped? Right around, I don't know, 84-ish?
Isn't that?
82?
No, I know my name is Steven. It's a little bit later, but I don't know if he's in that movie, but... Yeah, that's
the little boy. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
But I know my name is Steven is the kid that was kidnapped for a long time. And when they finally found him, and he was, I mean, forced to have sex
total
with every.
Yep.
We're talking about, Jesus. I know my first name is Steven.
I know my first name is Steven. And when they finally found him, that's all he could remember. He'd been kidnapped for so long that all he remembered was that was my first name was Steven.
Do you realize how long ago that movie was?
Yeah. 89.
Yeah, 89. And the
star of it just recently died.
The kid's name was Steven Stainer.
Yeah,
he was kidnapped. Let's see.
And the brother who was, because they were both like looked at or abducted, and then the one was let go, but he was fucked up.
Yeah,
and he just died. A few years back, Yellowstone, and they thought he was tied to some murders.
Yeah, he
there.
Went, yeah.
It was some weird. Oh yeah, it was.
So there was
total survivor's guilt.
He was a serial killer.
Was that what? Okay, yeah. I didn't know if they had proven that.
I'm going to run through some names, and you tell me if there's there was a...
He played Steven. He played Steven, the older Steven.
Oh, Corin Nimick?
Yeah, Corin. He just died.
Did he?
He just died recently.
Okay.
I can't say anything.
So anyways, that was the whole point of this. And then they were saying with the Asperger's syndrome, because the one thing that you're missing, incredibly loud and dangerously close, whatever that movie is called, with Asperger's / autism is empathy.
Okay.
And they're saying, like, your dog Patty Hearst, who's clearly learned how to make her peace with you.
The abduction only takes a minute.
It's only been 6 months.
That that kidnapped victims learn to know what is expected of them and do it so that they don't get any the repercussions. Horrible.
She sits for a treat really, really fast.
And so.
And you all show up on time every week to this show.
Yeah, proving.
It's creepy.
So they were saying that he because of his diagnosis, he would lack the ability in the bunker to know what the right reaction would be. So this child psychiatrist in CNN, and this might just be like spreading more bullshit that she was talking, but she had a child with Asperger's, so she was like very invested in the story. She was wondering as they were sending him his medicine, because I guess they had been convinced to send him medicine, that they were sending him sedatives. Because they were worried that he might go completely off the rails.
That's fucking smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was her thing, and I thought it was just genius.
I have to give a shout out to my friend.
I feel like your mom is...
Yes, that's who you think it is.
Okay.
A shout out to my friend David Finch, who wrote a book called The Journal of Best Practices, that I believe is still on the bestsellers list. He has Asperger's, and it's a book about how he learned how to have a better relationship with his wife by learning things like, oh, this is how I should react in these situations, and these are the things that I don't need to say to my wife in the worst possible moments. And
like that dress makes you look fat.
Right. 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 It's a really good book. I recommend it if anybody's interested in that kind of thing, and adults with Asperger's and different skills in a relationship as opposed to neuronormal. Is that
I've heard something
what it's called?
Like that. Yeah, they something like that.
Non-Asperger's.
But now, have you seen Incredibly Loud and Dangerously Close?
I can't.
It's so
September
good.
11th fucked me up pretty bad.
No, and again, and I have to say this again, this movie's not about September 11th. This,
yeah,
this movie
that's
is,
what I've heard. I have a DVR'd. I haven't watched it yet.
It's not about that. It's just so you can't, the reason that they bring up 9/11 is so that you can't buy out of it. You can't say, oh, my dad's not dead, so I don't get this movie.
Sure.
It makes sure that the grieving is universal so that you have to buy into what this kid is going through.
Did you see Rain Over Me?
I've not heard of it.
And they're so good.
I love
funny. Molly Montgomery. Damn, Molly.
That was the point that I knew that I should have left my ex-girlfriend because I was so completely moved and wrecked by that movie, and she said it was 2 hours of her life that she'll never get back. And I should have known at that moment.
How long did you date?
Almost 4 years.
So it was 4 years she's never going to get back? Is that what the next
time? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, Rain Over Me is more specifically about that.
Well, I can't say no because I haven't seen it. Ties, Incredibly Close. But
well, I guess, no, I guess you're right. That
did Silver Linings Playbook remind you of Rain Over Me?
It reminded me of both. It reminded me of both. That really did. And it's the point to Dangerously Loud and Incredibly Close is undiagnosed people going through life, and at what point do you start to say, we have a problem? And Sandra Bullock's greatest movie, she has two scenes. She's barely in the movie.
Okay.
She has two scenes, and each one is devastating when it comes to, like...
I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I haven't even seen
this movie.
Why do I feel like we should have
a movie day?
Right.
Yeah. Everybody makes fun of this movie, or they say, no, I don't want to watch a movie about 9/11. 9/11 is in it, but it's to make it universal. But when she comes in as the mom and she, like, just... And he's like, I didn't know you understood how I think. Yeah. And she's like, I have to understand how you think.
Wow. So at what point do you say, yes, I understand that you have this diagnosis, but I can't function unless you get help for it?
I won't give it away. They deal with all of it.
Okay.
They deal with diagnosis. It's a brilliant little movie, and it's by Stephen Daldry, who did The Hours and Billy Elliot, and I mean, he's just a very subtle director. He doesn't Steven Spielberg you. No one hits you over the head.
Yeah.
You have to find your path, your own way, and they don't ever tell you what anybody has or what they're doing.
Was so brilliant in it. Weren't you and Buddy talking about that?
He's the star of the entire movie. Everyone else, even Tom.
Okay, you changed my mind.
Tom
I'm
Hanks is
it.
In maybe 10 minutes. Sandra Bullock has two scenes.
Yeah, it's not.
It's Max von Sydow and this little boy.
And did you ever, sorry about the movie skip, but did you ever see The Beginners?
Yes.
The Beginner?
Yes, Beginners.
Okay, I have that one DVR'd as well.
A joy.
The two guys,
well,
the old guy and the young guy, right?
Yes. Father and son, Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, Plummer.
I
can't wait to see it. And he won every award possible for that.
No,
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, same.
And a dog, and the cutest dog in the whole fucking world.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
From Al Perkins.
Damn, Al!
He doesn't want to own the dog. He just wants to see it on film.
Right? So about the military trauma thing, because I really do want to get to that.
Well, at first, and I get that with, like, what are your thoughts on punishment? Well, there is no punishment so far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we got it. Okay. There is no punishment so far, so any punishment would be a step in the right direction.
Like, what do you mean there's no punishment?
There is no. Oh, no, watch The Invisible War.
The Other Sister and Benny and June, two of the best movies ever.
Benny and June was good.
The Other Sister actually offends me to my core.
Oh, my God, I love it. And that cracks me up.
I call that the movie that's supposed to make me feel better because I know a retard. I hate that movie.
I think it's brilliant because it's exactly what life is like.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just catch people acting. It's one of those movies where I caught someone acting.
Did I make you watch the documentary about the Downs couple? Excuse me, the couple with Downs?
No.
Hugh Downs? I loved him on 2020.
Fabulous. Yes. Yeah, it was different though, I think.
San Diego.
Have you ever seen Twitch and Shout?
No.
It is about Tourette syndrome.
Oh my God.
What?
Fuck you! Ballsucker! Bastard motherfucker!
And now we have to give a shout out to my dear, my very dear old friend Gina Cerise, who we saw.
Damn, Gina Cerise.
Damn, Gina Cerise. I like it.
One teacher pronounced her name Gina Soros, and we were done. A substitute teacher. No, we.
Okay, how about the ladies who pronounce it Regina?
Right. Yeah.
What's
seriously?
That about?
Come on.
So,
by the way, do you guys ever see my loosely. Little mantra for like all the time? I look at that all the time.
I need to put that to be on a my cunt mirror. Today. I need to put that on every article of clothing I own.
I mean, come on.
You don't read it enough, Marn.
Yeah.
I know, but I keep trying.
Swing and a miss is
well,
what I'm saying.
I just put it on there.
Swing okay. and a miss.
Fair enough. It's new.
Fair enough.
All right.
All right. We'll give it some
I'm
time.
Not to be a cunt today. Just we'll tell yourself that over and over. Right.
So Twitch and Shout has a funny thing, and it really goes into Tourette syndrome, and it shows you these people that are living with it and helps you understand it, and it gives it a little bit of a lighter note just to help you through the documentary because it's such a serious topic. Brilliant. Twitch and Shout. So my friend Gina and I saw it about the same time.
Damn, Gina
Cerise. Yeah. Damn, Gina. We saw it about the same time. And because you have to be taught what words are bad, she always said, what if you convinced your child that you knew had Tourette's that, like, puppy dogs and rainbows were the bad words? Be like, puppy dogs! Rainbows! You know what I mean? So that no one would be offended.
I would teach my kids the wrong words anyway. Yeah, I think totally. It'd be hysterical.
But is it?
Yeah.
Oh, and then to take it to the absolute absurd extreme, the Jig Deuce Bigelow American Gigolo,
oh,
whatever
God.
That's called.
One of the funniest.
I still laugh.
No,
big
I
titties!
Laugh.
Big
yeah.
titties! Big, blah, 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 blah.
Ball liquor.
It's Amy Poehler, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, I seriously almost shit my pants in a movie theater without the aid of very spicy God. Green chilies.
That was one of the funniest things I had ever seen.
I was not emotionally or bowelly prepared for that.
Have you seen Niagara, Niagara?
Yes. No. Oh, of course, yes.
Also a good movie.
And now that's not James Marsden, that's James Franco, right? James Franco and...
No, it's not James Franco. It's, I can't remember the boy. The girl is, what's her name, from The Craft. She's on a TV, a cop show now.
All right.
Tierney.
Maura Tierney?
No.
I'll Google
Robin.
It.
Robin Tierney.
Okay. I got to find out who the guy is. You talk amongst yourselves and I'll Google that.
Kurt Tierney?
You're going to Google something?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Damn, I know. It's amazing.
That was good, Mars.
Okay,
I enjoy that.
On marriage equality, I'm just going to throw this out there. Illinois Senate Executive Committee passes marriage equality. Now it goes to the full Senate where it's expected to pass, and they're going to do it on Valentine's Day, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
The Pentagon is expected to expand benefits to same-sex couples.
I read that today.
And the announcement should come this week. The alcohol and diet turning. Soda is a bad idea. Unless you're Clayton, and then you find out that it's because the alcohol gets you drunker faster when you use diet soda because the sugar would slow you down. So well played, Clayton.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize.
Damn, Clayton.
I am ahead of the curve.
You are.
Oh, I need a winner. There's that for me.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
There you go. I really should cut down.
On the diet soda.
Yeah. Oh, I should just cut down on a lot of things.
What's on your list? Oh, it is Henry Thomas. Robin Tunney, and yes, and it's Henry Thomas of...
Another.
Of the Waltons?
E.T. fame.
E.T.
Oh! I'm from Niagara Falls, so I only watched it because it said Niagara, Niagara, so I had to watch it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I grew up like 3 miles from the falls, from the brink.
South.
Something like that.
No, here, funny story, and I didn't realize this until I moved, that Niagara Falls, Ontario and Niagara Falls, New York are not north and south of each other. They're east and west of each other.
Of course they are.
Because to the north is Lake Ontario. So I lived on the western side. No, that's wrong. I lived on the eastern side. The western side would make me Canadian. Isn't that funny? I didn't know until I moved and I looked at a map. Because I was like, why do all the freeways and highways say we're going north-south when really we're going east-west? Like,
well, how about... Don't you go east to get to Tucson on the 10?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, but it's a different story. That's just an eastern... Stupidity. Yeah, that's a little side turn, but...
it's an eastern progression, at least.
Sure.
Yeah.
For 90 miles due south.
I'm just saying. You still get to Tucson.
So what do you have on your
list? I don't have a lot on my list, but one of the things that this week has driven me nuts, and we all see things on... And I realize Facebook isn't real, and I understand that, and I get it. And like, it's solely use it for promotion. Whoops, you're going to need a new iPad,
Hola.
Marnie? Hi, now. Damn, Marnie.
Okay.
No, I laugh at the people. There's always the people who are on there that are talking about rising above the negativity. And
they're the most dramatic
ones. Lives are the blast.
I'm going to need names on this one.
Going to say them right now.
You can write it down.
All right, I'll give it to you in a minute. But I always find it funny that those...
Because I thought it was about me.
When have you ever said rise above the negativity?
I didn't, and that's why I thought maybe you were drinking.
No, actually, because I think I posted that in the middle of the day. I just think it's funny that so many of the people who post or say things like, oh, my life is so blessed, and things are, you know, my life is so this, that, they make other people's lives miserable because they are the ones who are the problem. And I just think so that was the post that I made in regards. Look in that reality mirror occasionally and make sure that your fly's zipped, your belt's on right, and you've not missed a button, because it could be you that's causing the problems. And I just a lot of people chimed in on the post that I made on Facebook in regards to that. I just find that there are so many people out there that are on the top of the list of people that, Jesus, if I have to spend one more minute with this person in the room, I'm going to shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I write it down in passage because I need to see this. Because I really was.
You're not going to know who it is.
I bet I will.
Oh, well, I may need a bigger marker.
Or more ink.
That's one.
Oh, yeah.
That's one. That's one.
I fucking saw that.
Clearly.
Oh,
shit.
I'm going to be
a fucking mile away.
I'm going to be screwed. We have video. Oh, there was.
No, we can. We'll know where the camera angles are.
I mean, seriously, I was expecting the Vatican police to land on Campbell yesterday and arrest me for all the shit I was talking about the Pope yesterday.
Oh, I saw that.
Because every other post was pretty much, I'm flying to the Vatican and shooting him. The Swiss Guard, that's who guards him. I remember that from my Dan Brown novels.
Exactly. Yep.
That's the reason I know anything about the hope Vatican. I can use Dan Brown.
Hope you escape out the Willy Wonka secret helicopter, too.
Oh, the Great Glass Elevator?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but in the Dan Brown
ridiculous book, and they cleaned it up. They cleaned that part up in the movie.
No, so there's that, and I'm going through... there's another situation that it's arisen, and it's how do I get through this without completely outing somebody that
they're not listening.
No, there's and could be. I mean, we're listening in Saudi Arabia. 1 in 10, they're not listening. They're too young. They have to go to bed.
1 out of 10 listeners.
Do we have any fun countries?
Is not the person you're talking about.
Oh no, no. Actually, right now we only have all 8 listeners are in the United States. No, there's a. I've been having an issue with somebody, and I'm figuring out that my life is not the residency of their rehabilitation of theirs. It's like, don't, my life, you need to get your shit together.
Oh, I'd say, yeah.
You get your shit together. Don't, my house, my life, my world, anything to do with me. You're a nice, lovely, charming person, but you have issues. And until you and we're talking about somebody, we're talking about somebody that's no, somebody that's old enough to know better. I know 22-year-olds. I know 22-year-olds.
Yeah, you got to write down this.
Yeah, write this shit down.
I know 22-year-olds who have more of their shit together than somebody who's in their mid-30s. And I'm like, what in the fuck is wrong with you? Figure it out. Do something. Get off your ass. Go and stop doing the things that make you. It's just been driving me up a goddamn wall. And I'll tell you all about that a little bit later. And
well, write down a name.
Yeah,
we want to know.
Oh, stand by.
Okay, now
here's the thing, though. Have you said this to them?
Yeah, when I threw them out of my house. Yes.
Okay. Because if you haven't said it to them, then you're just as dramatic.
I gotcha.
And there's gonna be a, not this one, that one.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Now I'd like to play the game of. I have a big...
Hide the sausage?
No, yes, I do. I enjoy that game, too. Damn, Gina, that's a big sausage. I like to play a game or diagnose people because I feel... And we just hit on this with people that like get stopped at 8 years old. When you don't...
I never thought of it like that, though, Molly.
They say the same thing for alcoholism. That's why I'm 8. But they talk about... No, they do. They say with alcoholism or drug dependency that it's the same concept.
You stop. At the time you became dependent on it.
Exactly.
I also think that it happens with lesbians and haircuts. Whatever haircut was popular when you came out of the closet, you're stuck with it for the rest of your life.
I just made mine shorter. Uh-huh. Is that it? Maybe.
Yep.
Could be.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Don't have that same leisure. I have this thing about living your life chronologically, and you can spot those people that are out of order. They're usually dating the wrong age group. They're usually dressing inappropriately. They're usually...
Clayton, when the cameras are on, that's going to be obvious.
I wear the same thing.
I did not look over to you.
I know. Not yet.
No, I did not.
And but, I don't date. I haven't dated in years.
So, but do you get what I mean? Like, when you're 20, you should be reckless. When you're in your teens, you should be immortal. When you're 30, you should start to get it together. When you're 40, you should be slightly settled. And... do you get what I mean? Like, do you have that same theory about chronologically, or like what year, what are your age, what are your benchmark ages where you think like, okay, you're at this age, you're going to change to one thing. At this age, you're going to change to something else.
I absolutely agree. But I think the caveat to that is that you have no idea what the defining moment was in anybody's life.
Oh no. I agree with that completely.
You know what I mean? Everybody's got something,
but it's kind of like your 12,000 mile checkup. We'll use a car metaphor. Okay. Just because I haven't, I know.
What the hell? Did you do it to appease me?
Yeah.
Wow.
But so you haven't driven, like, maybe you're at 24,000 miles, but you got to go back and get that 12,000 mile checkup. Like, you.
Or you'll never get over not having it.
Or you'll never get over not having it.
Right.
That's good.
Isn't that good?
I appreciate that a lot. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm going to give you, what am I going to give you on that? Oh. Thank you.
I do like fanfare.
That was good.
So now, Marty, do you have ages that you think like there's benchmarks that have to be met at a certain time? Like,
no, because I fucked all that up.
I'm with you too. But not for you, but I feel that for me.
Did you trip over three of them later? Like, did you like progress through the
last night?
Yes.
No.
And what were their names?
Exactly. You know, the. I had this picture of what it was going to be, you know, and how it was
we
going to be.
We all have a master
right?
plan in our head. Yeah.
Nope.
Swing and a miss.
Big fail. Can we give me thanks There's much? Thanks. Excuse me.
Stupid.
Sorry.
What? It's called spit? What? You like
it? There's that. Sorry.
Or I got this one. Same song.
Yes, same song.
No, I guess I really thought that by 25 this was going to happen, by 30 that was going to happen. Yesterday, I guess the benchmark kind of thing that I didn't think really would happen.
Taking five dogs to a vet at once?
No, four.
Whatever.
But yesterday, yesterday
after
was...
After three, does it fucking matter?
Yesterday was 19 years that I've lived in my house since I bought my house.
Okay.
And so that was
I wasn't even born
of a big
yet
deal.
When you
Shut
you
up, Molly.
Me
really
neither.
Angry.
Yeah, and you really.
And but, you, sir.
But that kind of thing, that was a big deal because we had moved so, from the time I'm 12, I think I moved 14 times before I moved into my house. Right. So the idea of moving again anywhere freaks me out.
Can you imagine?
But see, now again, you without meaning to, you've hit one of those benchmarks or milestones that I'm talking about where, like, you have stability. You know what I mean? You've reached your
God, not a lot of people.
You've reached your
but yeah,
mid to late 20s.
Oh,
you,
thanks.
Yeah, thank
yes.
you.
Good
you've
call.
You've thanks reached your mid to late 20s. You're welcome.
Sure.
And you hit because
yes.
And even
Keep
you, going. you've been at your house for over 10 years. Like there's
started
that,
on the 12th.
There's
yeah.
that thing of like I can't. I'm not packing up and moving again.
Right?
Like I'm
no.
this age.
I've decided that I haven't. And though I don't own the house I'm in, it's a long story. Yep, and blah blah blah. But anyway. Yeah, I can't. First of all, I cannot imagine him to pack up everything that I own to move. Number one, number two, I've virtually already in my head made the decision. The next move is a beach in San Diego.
Right.
I'm but not moving
but
for anything less.
My next move is feet
I'm not
first.
Talking a benchmark of like I'm going to have a certain job or I'm going to have a certain this. I will be stable enough that I don't live on someone's couch after a certain like once
right.
26 happens. Living on the unforeseen circumstances,
sure, sure.
undiagnosed illnesses,
sure.
whatever.
Sure.
Barring that, like, I don't live on someone's couch anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm talking about
benchmarks. You spend a lot of time on your couch.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm on a couch. But do you see what I mean, though? It's not the things you were thinking at, like, 18 were what was going to mean you were important, but it's stability. It's like, I have a job that I am responsible for, and I have to go there, and I can't call in sick every Tuesday because I have a show. No, these are not the same things.
Every Wednesday is okay, though?
Sure.
Okay, I just wanted to
After the
but
show.
Do you get what I mean about important, like, yeah. we've passed
certain
now.
Social
like,
markers.
I no longer think I'm immortal. Yeah. I wear my seatbelt. Well, you know, I do
these things. One of the differences would be, and I've thought about this, it was very funny when, in my mind at least, when in 2004, when I was working at Tinseltown in Scottsdale, old Hamburger Mary's, second Hamburger Mary's, whatever. And we were always out, always out. I can't express to you how I would look at people that would come into the bar that would be like, God, we haven't been out in forever. Mm-hmm. And like, they'd be sitting there and they, you know, do whatever.
Yeah. Are you dead?
Right. What is wrong with you? And now the thought for me personally of going out, it really has to be a set of circumstances. Like I'm
there's
already
gonna be
drinking
a fireworks
and we're
display.
Leaving after the show and we're going to go somewhere. I enjoy this, but the constant for me of going out, it just isn't there. But I never thought it wouldn't be.
Right.
Oh no,
I never.
Me and too. If Harrison was still on the air with us, which I guess she got kicked out a couple times, that's exactly what we used to say. She had a slightly older roommate, and now, I mean, at the time, we thought this woman was like middle aged, and she was probably like 25. But we thought, and she would be like, oh my God, you guys are going out again? We're like, well, of course we are.
What else would we be doing?
The day that ends at Y, we have to go, like, dance. I mean, what if we didn't dance? How would the world go on if we weren't dancing? And I mean that literally. Like, Harrison and I would, like, the thought of, like.
Something's going to happen, and what if I'm not there?
Yeah, the thought of it being dark and us not dancing in a bar was absolutely appalling.
I mean, think of all the people that might not see you.
Right.
Absolutely. You were doing good.
Doing good things.
Yes. Look at the good you
but
do.
That's a, I mean that's a that's
but and again
that's a 20s to 30s
well and
transition.
And again for some or I mean Clayton you 35. Love to
but
to
you
go
might hit,
and
but
do,
you might hit it
and,
later
and
like,
you're a part of the bars for work, which is a huge difference. I think if
you
were fundraising
in the bar all the
and
time,
I'm working
like
in the bar
did,
and I'm doing different things, I'd still be there and not a problem.
Right.
But the idea of just as a person not doing that
right
now.
If there was an event coming up and you were involved in it, you'd show up
absolutely.
And be there 100%.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
The funny thing, you say that, and I was literally thinking this. I've been thinking this more and more of myself in the past probably 2 to 3 months. And I realize that it's, you know, the sands of time
sure.
are driving through my hourglass.
Marching all
that
over my
like
face.
It sounded like a sexual innuendo,
it
didn't it?
Sure did. Damn!
Clayton! No. Were the Mayans right? What the fuck is happening?
No,
right
what now? I was but I what I'm realizing is, and I know that I am my mother's son. She loves to be home. Her home is her sanctuary. She loves to be home. She does her project. She does her thing. Mm-hmm. She'll go out and she'll play and do... You know, she only really goes out when I bring her out and take her to do things. But I've really gotten to that point of
same with me.
I don't want people at my house.
Yeah.
I go out when I do like Marnie was saying, I go and I do the events that I do, but and the events and I DJ this and I host this, blah blah blah. But the rest of it, I've really gotten to the point where I don't really want to be around people anymore.
Right. You just want to sit and chit-chat with the one person you...
One or two. Yeah. Or, like I said, like I said earlier, I've been restoring a lawnmower. Or I spend hours upon hours in my shop doing stuff alone. I have an iPod playing whatever I enjoy playing on. Or I listen to talk radio or whatever. Or nothing. And that really confuses people. They're like... Well, how come it's so quiet? I'm like, silence is really good.
Yeah.
So there are many, many times I don't have anything on. I listen to the clock tick. I listen to the little fountain for the cats dribble in the front room.
And it's calming.
But it's funny that I'm realizing that I less and less. And it's just like my mom, I don't need to be around people all the time. And I'm finding more and more that people are annoying the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if is that because I'm 43 or is it just because I've realized that I don't need your bullshit.
No, it's another one of those. And I say this about girls. This is the problem with the girl show is it's written by a 20 something. It's about 20 something. Mm-hmm. I'm not their target audience because all I keep thinking is shut the fuck up. Right. I want to go home. Like if you
and
were
put something cute on. Yeah. What are you wearing?
If this girl came up and talked to me, I'd be like, get over yourself. Like the world is not all from me. The
Isn't
world
that
is
like
not all
YouTube?
About you.
Your YouTube thing?
Yeah.
With the Barbies?
Hear that.
Oh, yeah?
Fucker, yeah.
Fucker, yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, but that's what I mean about milestones. And they're not the milestones you think they are.
Absolutely
but it's,
not.
It's, I think the first important one is when you get out of your teens and that sense of being immortal. Goes away first,
oh.
And then the 20s.
I never had. I don't think I ever had that sense. I don't. I just.
You know, I definitely.
But it doesn't have to come and go earlier because you could know someone who died.
Absolutely.
Something.
Well,
will,
and you did. Yeah. We both did.
Absolutely.
No, and,
we both
no,
did.
And I did too. Like my best friend died when I was 17 years old. So yeah. Your sense of like they don't have to happen in. Like, oh my God, I'm 19, I'm no longer immortal. Like, it'll happen at whatever time it happens.
And it could
happen
at 27.
Well, wow.
Hi.
That's weird.
Oh.
Damn!
Oh.
But the point is that you get to the right point eventually. Yeah. And then at the end of your 20s, you're like, okay, we have to, like, look a little bit outside the box here. Like, we can't just keep...
You know, but that's the thing with that picture that I think...
And you didn't
know,
invent that, pretty. I think that the hard lesson to learn, and I don't know if it happens for... I don't know how it differentiates by sex. But the end of your 20s, I think the big lesson for gay guys is you didn't invent pretty.
Oh,
and clearly
you know,
you
heard
didn't
men
because
talk that, about that.
That guy,
a lot.
20 years older, used to be as hot as
yes.
you were 3 weeks ago.
Yes. And now you're just bitter.
And that guy younger than you is way prettier than
you are. Well, and I only say that because of some of the gentlemen I was just telling my friend Jason. Jason and I were talking about the fact that there was this guy, his name was Todd. He. Good-looking guy. He always smelled great. I remember that. He had
wear Fahrenheit?
Jewelry.
Is that what you wear
no,
Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
That's
good
Doug Wilkie.
Yeah,
that's
good
Doug Wilkie with the Fahrenheit.
And Marnie.
And me,
Marnie
yeah.
wears it, too.
But he always smelled great, and he wore rings, but he wasn't gaudy, and he wasn't... He drove a Mercedes, but you would never know. I mean, he wasn't flashy about it. You just... I knew because I had to help him get something out of his car.
He liked jewelry and a well-built car.
No, but I mean, there were all these kind of things. He would have been a fantastic partner for someone. I mean, he was settled. He had a great job. He had, you know, all of this stuff. He was 35 at the time. So 42
so slightly
now.
Slightly ahead of the curve.
Right. And but was the most bitter son of a bitch.
So behind the curve.
but because of age, because of what you just said, with the whole at the end of your 20s and going on, like, you didn't invent pretty. And he would sit there and he really could offer someone, he again, good looking, had
right.
lots of stuff going for him, funny guy. And yet people didn't want to be with it because the guys that he liked wanted to be with the pretty.
Right.
And that's really what it came down to. And the fact that the fact that at 35 he thought he was dead because nobody's going to look at me, nobody's this. It was one of the saddest things
ever. And you see those people that come out later. They come out a little bit later. They don't. And so they missed.
Mark Martinez. This part of the show is like being in a therapist.
Yeah.
You should listen more often, Mark.
You should pay us.
Oh, snap.
No, and I
take PayPal.
I say this all the time. Like, when you meet those people that come out a little bit later and they didn't get the wild teen years, they didn't do their 20s where they were like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever saw Queer as Folk.
Yeah.
But in the British Queer as Folk, the blonde hottie that comes in and sleeps with the main character. In the British version, he kills himself.
Oh.
He gets rejected and he kills himself. In the American version, he takes off his shirt when he gets rejected, and they start playing an updated early 21st century version of Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Okay.
Takes off his shirt and goes and dances and meets some guys and has a throughway and moves on, and I'm like, yes.
Okay.
That's what a 19-year-old would do.
Right.
You're going to realize, I'm the hottest fucking thing in here. Sure. You're 10 years older. You just rejected me. Well, fuck you.
Right.
The whole world wants this.
Sure.
And I was like, what a big improvement on the show to have that statement of like, yeah, it's a little heartbreak, but you know what? I'm still gorgeous. I'm still 20.
Right.
I'm still the shit. And he took advantage of it. He didn't like
But
dive.
I don't think most of us do. I don't think most of us get
right,
it at the time.
But
no,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm talking about doing the right thing at the right time.
Right.
So if you don't have that moment to realize, if you don't realize your power when you have the power,
mm-hmm.
then later you're just going to be a bitter 35-year-old with a good job that's a nasty
cunt. Yeah, but how
cunt.
Can you guys... But
why are you pointing at Marnie when you say all that?
She's not 35.
She's
like 42
now,
right? She's not 35.
No,
right.
Not anymore. No, but how can guys? Because it seems like for the whole 20s, especially in guys, women are just bitter cunts anyway. But with not all of them,
yeah,
but with guys, it seems like for like up until 30, maybe early 30s, that they're just gung-ho and everything is
be young, be
positive,
pretty,
have, be young, be pretty,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, stops. Do it. This is your time.
Yeah, but then don't. Your time still keeps going.
Oh, right now, right? Your time just becomes something else.
It does. But right. How can that message be passed along? Because there are a lot of the Todds out there.
Yeah, oh, there are.
They really
there are.
Do think, and then they become bitter, and then they're ornery, and
I have to tell you, I was 32, 33 years old, and I was sitting talking to Rob, who we all know.
Yep.
And we had a mutual friend, and I've told us about this mutual friend that Rob was just done with way before I was. And we were talking about something, and he was telling me some story, and he was all animated and all excited, and Rob was like, "Well, do you want to go with him?" I'm like, "Not really." And the guy looks at me and he goes, "Why don't you want to come?" I'm like, "You know, this is your time. My time already happened. I had all the glory I needed. This is yours. I don't need, like, it's your time to be young and pretty. Go do it. You don't need witnesses. That was me. Because it won't go all the way in." You know what I mean? But it was, but that was my realization that I had to move on from that thought process. I was still working somewhere where, you know what I mean? Like, it was very strange, but I just listened to someone's story and realized, oh, you know what? This is no longer me. Sure. Like, you're going to go do that, and I have no place in that world. And I was 32, 33 years old, and I'm like, I have no business with you at 24 years old. Like, you own the world right now, and it's yours. Go enjoy.
Yeah.
The part of the world that I own, you're not going to see for another 10 years.
Or care about.
And we can each have our own kingdoms, sure. And no one's going to be the wiser.
Well, and I'm not pointing a finger, but I'm just...
Legally, I have to say that.
Allegedly,
do we have a disclaimer?
I'm
going to
pee with the door open so I can hear you.
No, and I truly don't mean this. Toward the other
end
of the table.
But you're going to say it.
No, because I'm curious about it, but I don't necessarily think you fall into this.
What?
I'm just curious how many people are in their, 30s, 40s.
Millions of people.
Okay, hold on. Buck Wild. that are dating the say, 19 to 22-year-olds, only trying to relive them being that age.
Oh, if you're asking if that's...
I'm not saying you, and that's why I made that statement.
Do you date that young?
I'm always find the younger attractive, yeah. But I got nothing in common with it. There's there's no conversation. Like, if you have to... If you look at a picture in my house of Wham and go, "Oh, when were you in a music group?" Not realizing that it was Wham. Yeah, we got nothing. If you're looking... Wow.
That's funny.
When were you in an 80s pop group? I wasn't. That's actually George Michael. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah. Or, if they funny. Never realized that Cadillac made a car called an Eldorado,
right.
We're not, nothing's going to happen here.
Sure. But, and again,
a slap and tickle session is about all I got. Yeah. Other than that, we're not, no, you're never going to meet my mom. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that wasn't me. That's why I was joking. That wasn't me pointing the finger toward you. It's just, I wonder how many people are dating someone that's that young, just trying to relive or trying to be that age.
A lot of people. I think there are even
same
a lot of people.
Same with women.
It goes with
33
problems.
All over again right now.
That's one of those problems. Like, it
I'm
doesn't
trying to be
like,
36.
There's Hugh Hefner.
How's that working
there's all
for
these
you?
Different people that are like.
Sure. Absolutely. Hugh Hefner.
I don't know. And like I always say, like, my target age group for dating is not younger, it's older.
It used to be older for me.
Yeah, because I mean, I identify with people that know like things that I shouldn't know. Like, Sunday night, the counter program to the Super Bowl was the origins of SNL again. I've watched SNL since its very first episode because my sisters and my dad were kind of into it, and I would just stay up with them.
My parents used to make me watch it all the
time. Yeah, so I mean, I've been at that.
It was born the same year I was.
Aww. Right, and So in 1975, I watched that first episode. I watched Chevy Chase and then had a big crush on Chevy Chase and went to see Foul Play because of Chevy Chase. So I'm like, my target audience, I can't explain to someone like Saturday Night Live or what Gilda Radner is. So I need to date somebody a little bit older that experienced that with me, and I'll pretend to be a little bit older if it'll make you feel better. And I don't you don't have to explain it
anymore.
You don't have to explain it to me, and I don't have to explain anything to you. That's where mine lies.
Sure.
All right, we are going to wrap up this third hour of.
These go by so quickly.
I know it does. Seriously. It's fast. The more
it's
we drink,
I don't say anything. I think that's what helps.
You're so quiet. It's the show with Clayton McKee, Marty Ryer.
Gina.
This week, our guest in studio has been Molly Montgomery. Al Perkins is
we
always
miss
with
you,
us.
Katie.
We close out each and every week. Thank you for being here. Join us next Tuesday. There's going to be drinking and thoughtful vulgarity and other discussions. And
thoughtful vulgarity. This is my favorite thoughtful vulgarity ever.
It's one of them.
Yeah, I think it was good. Yeah.
I don't know how we got from like date rape to this, but we got here.
And as we like to close each show, we say to you, we will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.